What it do, baby? Yes, sir. It's the Zoo Yorker, and I am, of course, your host, Big Zoo, a.k.a. Edar Zooman, coming to you here on April 24th, 2024. 4-24-24. That, of course, is a Wednesday for those of you keeping count out there, and appreciate y'all for being here, as always. Make sure to hit that follow and subscribe button. Appreciate y'all doing so. And that's also how you get notifications to make sure that you know exactly when the podcast drops new episodes, which we do every single day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And if you appreciate what you hear with my sultry voice right now, please leave a little 5-star rating as well. That helps get more eyes on the podcast, and more favorable reviews are always something that's nice for me. But if you have anything else to say to me, go on to the Twitter machine, X machine, Elon Musk machine, whatever it is that you are calling it this day, and hit me up at Zoobeard77. That's ZOOBEARD77. On the Twitter machine, and appreciate y'all doing that as well. But for right now, we got to talk some sports. And we got some New York Rangers playoff hockey to react to. And I got to tell you something. This Blue Shirts team is doing everything that they need to do right now. They are, unlike the Knicks, expected to win a championship this season. Maybe not expected, but a lot of fans, that is the expectation. We, and I am a fan, are looking for a Stanley Cup out of this organization this year. Period. End of sentence. And anything less will be viewed as an abject failure, from me at least. Now, when you enter a season with expectations as gaudy as that, when you enter a playoffs with expectations as loud as that, there are times where you can sort of fall off a little bit. You can let your play get to you. You can let it get inside your head. And all of a sudden, you're sitting there in game two wondering how you dropped one of the first two home games or both of those two home games. I mean, hell, we've seen it happen with the President's Trophy winner over the past couple of seasons. We've seen that President's Trophy winner come up like a dud in the first round to the Columbus Blue Jackets in the past. And we've seen them lose every year in between. And this year, the Rangers aren't letting that happen. They came out and they took care of business at home. They got two wins over the Capitals last night, 4-3. Powered by their special teams play. They got two power play goals and a shorthanded goal. Now, they did let up a power play goal in the third period, but I'm going to give you a pass when you get a shorty and two power plays as well. I'm going to say the special teams played exceptionally well. And if you watched a game, I mean, was there anything more beautiful than that shorthanded goal that Keandre Miller scored? The back and forth, sending it straight to him on a plate, bang. I mean, I was watching that and it looked like practice. It looked like they were just skating around at a morning skate, flinging it, just having some fun. That was a thing of beauty. And then Roslovich's goal, I'm looking at that one and I'm saying to myself, all right, what are you going to try to fit it in that little hole in the top right? And he actually did it. It was one of the few times in my life where I'm watching a sporting event and I'm like saying in my head, okay, this is improbable, but I think I know what he's going for. And the guy actually pulled it off. Wow. Hey, hats off to him. That was a hell of a goal. That was a hell of a game from this team. And the most impressive thing to me is that early on, or not really even early on, throughout the entirety of this game, the Capitals were trying to knock the Rangers off of what they're trying to do. They were trying to get in their head, and they were trying to make them play, I guess, a more physical style game, or at least they were trying to knock them off of it. And they did not take the bait. The Rangers at no point took the bait. And when they did so in a very smart way. Outside of one Rempe penalty that was a little hot-headed of him to get. But you give the guy a break because there were a lot of times in this game where he was being sought out. Both him and Will Cooley, two rookies being sought out by veterans, and Tom Wilson or TJ Oshie or Van Riemsdyk or whoever decided they wanted to take a run at one of these kids and get in their head and try to draw a penalty. Whichever one it was, they did not take the bait. And that is when you know that you are a great team. Because you don't sink yourself lower. You don't take yourself to the depths of some of these other teams that know that they have no prayer of beating you in a series. They have no prayer of beating you in one game, on the road, at least. This was a masterpiece by the Rangers. Even though we had to sweat it out at the end, even though they had to go through, you know, sitting there with the empty netter and not being able to capitalize, not being able to deepen that lead a little bit, get it to 5-3. They were able to win, and they were able to keep their composure, and now you head down to DC with a chance to sweep this series, which is truly what the goal is of this first round, is to sweep. We have seen it too many times in the past with this Rangers team. They have not taken care of business, and they have ended up dropping games to inferior opponents. And ultimately, as the playoffs go on, you see these 6- and 7-game series add up, and you get to a cup final against the Kings, and you're unable to finish games. And you get to a Eastern Conference Finals versus Tampa, and you're unable to finish a series. That's what happens. You cannot allow that to happen again. This is a series that was presented to you on a silver platter. Why? Because you earned it. You won the President's Trophy. That is what the goal of winning the President's Trophy is to get a team like Washington, who is older, who is not as talented as they used to be, and certainly nowhere near the caliber of what this New York Rangers team is. Don't forget, this is the team in New York Rangers history, the best regular season team they've ever had. All they have to do now to put the cherry on top of this being arguably the greatest Rangers team is winning in the playoffs. They're getting that done. So far, so good. 2-0, head down to Washington and sweep this series. That's how you get the job done. That's how you keep the ball rolling. And that's how you keep yourself ready for a Stanley Cup final run properly. That's how you make a Stanley Cup run properly. You assert dominance, you play your game, and you don't let teams breathe. That's what the New York Rangers are doing right now. That's what I hope they continue to do in this series. I don't want to see them take their foot off the gas at any point. I want to see them put it on this Washington team, and I want to see Washington continue to get frustrated. I want them to continue to be off their game, throwing hits, having TJ Oshie going out there looking like he's trying to start a fight when the man is really supposed to be looking to score some goals. I love that. I love that. Feed me it. Because I want this series not to come home. I don't want a game 5. I don't want there to be more games at the Garden here. I want this thing done in Washington. And I want to say, I want to be sitting on my ass for a couple of days waiting to find out who the second round opponent will be for the New York Rangers. That is how it's supposed to be when you are a number one seed President's Trophy winner. I don't care about no curse. I ain't scared of no curse, man. And neither is this team. And neither should you. Because if you've been a Ranger fan, you know this franchise can break curses. It's been done before. And it's time to do it again. This is the team. This is the head coach. I mean, I'm not going to spend too much time on this, but the fact that we now have a pairing of Keandre Miller and Braden Schneider potentially for the future of this franchise, about damn time. That's all I'm going to say is about damn time, because those two men together look like poetry in motion. I'm so happy that they are finally a pairing, and we no longer have to watch Jacob Trouba and Keandre Miller and have Braden Schneider playing alongside either Gustafson or whatever guy, whoever is up for the day. That's not the type of role Braden Schneider, a guy who you're developing into a defenseman of the future, should be playing for you. Peter Laviolette got that done. Peter Laviolette made that decision. Peter Laviolette is the man who truly unlocked what this team's potential could be. Peter Laviolette may be the best head coach this franchise has had in a long, long, long time. And when they made that hire, I wasn't necessarily too over the moon about it. I wasn't too excited about it. But sitting here watching this team play, and now 2 games into the playoffs, seeing how they are handling business and not allowing the extra BS to get to them, I have to say the hire of Peter Laviolette was absolutely amazing. But there is still work to do, so all the roses can't be thrown yet. Right now, business has been taken care of, and business still needs to be done. Only 2 out of 16 games have been won. The goal is a Stanley Cup here, not to make it out of the first round. But the goal of the first round is to get a sweep, and they're halfway there. Now it's time to go to Washington and finish the job. The next game will be on Friday night. Oof. So make sure you got the coolers loaded, the fridge loaded, the beers locked. And if you just so happen to choose so, maybe take a little Amtrak or a jet down to D.C. and get yourself a cheap little ticket and head on one of these games, either Friday or Sunday. I mean, if I had the time, I would. About last night, there was ugly, ugly baseball being played by the Mets last night. And I'm not going to harp on it too much today. They lost 5-1. But if they end up coming home off of this West Coast trip, going 2-4, and they get swept by the Giants, then there is going to be hell to pay on tomorrow's podcast for the New York Mets. That would be absolutely unacceptable. They can't allow themselves to get caught up in the same old crap that ruins this team year in and year out, and it really is with the core that they just underperform at certain points of the season, and they hit these peaks and valleys as a group. And all of a sudden, you're looking, and the team's on either a 15-game winning streak, or they've lost 13 out of 15. There is no in-between. There is no treading water with this Mets team. It's either great or awful. They can't allow that to be their MO for this season again. They have to find some consistency. And I know that's not easy when you have iffy starting pitching, but it's starting pitching that is good enough to be productive with this lineup. This lineup, especially when JD Martinez comes back, and he is on his way back. He played last night in Binghamton, DH'd a little bit. Get him up here. All of a sudden, this lineup is starting to look really good. Alvarez will be back over the summer. Bang. This is a team that needs to slug. This is a team that cannot, by any means, go through team-wide slumps. They have to have people producing. They have too many guys in the lineup. They just have too many guys who have done things in the league, in their lineup, to consistently be doing this. They have to be better. This team has to be better. Carlos Mendoza has to be better. I mean, enough of Joey Wendell. Enough. Enough. I don't know. I thought the signing wasn't bad when they made it, but now that I'm watching the kid play every day, he's awful. He's not good defensively. He's a mediocre hitter at best. I mean, what are we doing here? I mean, if you want to tell me Joey Wendell is going to start or two a week to give guys a blow, you know, so that they don't have to start all 5 games or all 7 games in a week, okay, that's fine. But this guy is literally going out there every time a righty is on the mound, and he is either making a horrific error in the field or he is going 0-for. There is no production coming from Joey Wendell. And he's hurting the team. How is this man starting so much? What does he have on Carlos Mendoza? I mean, I'm sure it'll get better if you keep running him out there every game. He's an MLB player, and we've seen that he's slightly better than this. But how much better is it really going to get? We're not talking about Francisco Lindor, who's won silver sluggers and gold gloves. We're talking about Joey Wendell. Come on, man. What are we doing? Like, enough. Enough is enough. You already have iffy starting pitching, and then you're going to give him a guy on the field who is either going through the yips right now, or he is just not it. I don't care which one it is. It doesn't matter to me. He can't be playing anymore. He can't. He has to be relegated to a very, very, very far down the bench position. This man needs to be 26th dude on the roster. If he has to be here at all. I cannot deal with watching Joey Wendell play anymore on this New York Mets team. It's killing me. It really is killing me. And I know Yankee fans are dying out there too right now, but you got to win yesterday. 4-3 over the A's at the stadium. You got another two versus the A's here tonight and tomorrow night. Got to take both of those. That's the way that you can rebound this series. I know everybody is feeling some type of way because of the zeros this team has put up early on this season. They've gotten shut out a couple of times. Aaron Judge looks like he hasn't hit a baseball in his life right now. Volpe got moved to the leadoff spot, which might have been the worst move that Aaron Boone could have possibly made to that lineup. I mean, the bottom of the lineup is non-existent. It's honestly insane. It really is insane how bad this lineup looks. But you know what? All it takes is this. A snap of the finger. And Aaron Judge is on a home run streak. And Juan Soto has been on base for 30 straight games. And Giancarlo Stanton. Oh, wait, look at that. He's batting .225. Oh, wait, but he has 20 home runs and 40 RBIs. How did that happen? And Gleyber Torres has 40 RBIs. And you look up and down the lineup, and you start to say to yourself, wow, look at what this team is doing. Give them some time. It's April 24th. Give them time. They're not fully finished yet. And there are still two major pieces to this team that still need to come back. One won't help the lineup, and that's Gerrit Cole. But he does put you over the top. And the second one will help the lineup, potentially, if he is ready, and that is Jason Dominguez. And if that man comes back, that is your leadoff hitter. That's your leadoff hitter when you get to October, and that is a man who is going to make a difference to this team. And you'll see when he gets here, you'll see what the Martian does. I'm telling you right now, this lineup will start producing. Now, what they have done over the past week is unacceptable. But, much like the Mets, they're going through one of those team-wide slumps right now. And unfortunately for Aaron Judge, he's going through one of those month-long Judgian slumps that he has at some point of the season. It just happens to be in April. Let's see what the rest of this year looks like for Judge, because I have a feeling that if it goes the way that I think, you're going to see Aaron Judge hitting a lot of home runs in June, July, and August. Oh, and throw September and October in there as well. Now, here's the caveat. If this team is unable to win, if they start getting swept, if they start losing series, then, and I'm talking consistently losing series, multiple in a row, not just a random one to Toronto. When that happens, then you can start having problems with this lineup. Then you can start getting on this team. Then you can start really feeling like, uh-oh, what's going on? But until that happens, give them time. Because I'll bet 100 times out of 100 that Aaron Judge breaks out of this and becomes the MVP type Aaron Judge that he has been throughout his entire career. I know Juan Soto is an MVP type of guy. Giancarlo is going to hit home runs as long as he stays healthy. He is going to get you run production as long as guys are on base in front of him. Volpe is going to steal bases. Gleyber is going to drive in runs. Those are just things that are facts. That's what is going to happen. So, wait. Give it a little time. You're winning. Give it time. When the winning ends, then we can get on this lineup. But until then, you continue to make it happen. Take the next two from Oakland. That's it. That's who the Yankees are. That's what the Yankees are going to do. If anything different happens, we'll talk about it right here. So make sure you follow and subscribe. And, you know, if you got a problem with what I'm saying right now, hit me up at Zoobeard77 on the Twitter machine, X machine, Musk machine. And I wanted to address something really quickly before we got out of here. Nick Nurse and the Sixers did a lot of bitching and moaning about the non-foul calls in the game and the foul calls that were made in favor of the Knicks and the other types of, you know, just the officiating in general throughout Game 2. And Nick Nurse also made the point for Game 1 as well after that game went off. Listen, I've seen my team get screwed by referees, umpires, officials throughout my entire life. To have to sit here and listen to Nick Nurse every freaking game cry and complain about the officiating when all he has to do is make simple changes to his rotation and maybe that'll spark his team a little bit to get them over the hump. Maybe instead of having Buddy Hield out there that's afraid to shoot the ball, you can put out campaign. Maybe instead of having Lowry inbound the ball at the end of the game, maybe you call a timeout there after that happened, and you don't leave it up to the refs to call a foul on Maxey. You don't leave it up to a heave from Dante DiVincenzo. You don't leave it up to Isaiah Hartenstein out-rebounding four dudes under the basket, kicking the ball out, and having another pass from OG Anunoby go directly to a wide-open Dante DiVincenzo who drills a three. Maybe if you would have actually thought about being a coach instead of whining and complaining, you would have won that game. But no, now we got to sit here and be freaking lectured by this man who all he does is want to complain. All he does is complain. And his entire career, now I give him credit, he has won a championship and you do need to be competent in order to do so. But this man won a championship with Dwayne Casey's team, and then Masai Ujiri went out and got him Marc Gasol and got him Danny Green and got him Kawhi Leonard. Danny Green, Long Island product, shout out. But that is what Nick Nurse's championship is. Nick Nurse is a man whose career is built off of the back of Dwayne Casey's work. Everything he has is because of Dwayne Casey, the same way you could say that if Steve Kerr only won one championship in Golden State, Steve Kerr's entire career would be built off of the back of Mark Jackson. But it's not. Steve Kerr has multiple championships. Nick Nurse had one with Kawhi Leonard. And as soon as Kawhi Leonard left, the Raptors went back to being a good team. Not a great team, definitely not a championship team. So when I see Nick Nurse acting like he's some type of gift to the NBA and that this is so unbelievable what is happening to his team, guess what, bud? You were the one that didn't make the right call. You were the one that didn't have the right guys on the court. You were the one that throughout the entire series has been playing the wrong people and setting your guys up for failure. You do that. You are the one that is losing this series for the 76ers. Not the players, not the refs. The Knicks are doing their job too, and they're taking it from you. But you are losing this series. So if I have to listen to this man belittle the Knicks anymore, acting like they couldn't possibly win these games, they couldn't possibly have done any of the things that they did in order to win, any of the improbable crap that the Knicks had to do, I have to hear that's BS because Nick Nurse cries. And now they want to file a grievance with the league? Oh, go ahead. You know how many two-minute reports I've seen where they've screwed the Knicks beyond belief? It ended our season last year. But you want to sit here and do this game? That's baby stuff. You're a baby.
Wah! Wah! I didn't get a call. Wah!
I can't stand it. I really can't stand it. Anytime this happens to the Knicks and a Knicks fan complains, we get told to shut our mouths. Anytime it happens with any fan base and they complain, and they get told to shut their mouths. But Philadelphia thinks that they're high and mighty. The Sixers think they're high and mighty. Enough is enough. Enough is enough. I need to see the Knicks go down there, and I need to see them step on their chests. I need to see them stomp all over this team down in Philly. I want to see Josh Hart draining threes. I want to see Jalen Brunson put up 30-plus. I want to see DiVincenzo yam it on him. I want to see Mitch drop Joel Embiid with a block shot into the third row. I want this to be personal now. Because they don't respect this Knicks team. They don't respect them so much that they blame both of their losses in this series on referees that they couldn't possibly be that the 2 seed in the East, the 50-win 2 seed in the East with an MVP candidate on their team could have possibly beaten you. The disrespect is out of control. And it's time for this Knicks team to make it personal. Like I said, take it to them down in Philly. We got a whole nother day until we got that game to see they're in this, to listen to more. They're going to still keep talking. They're going to keep talking. They're going to keep whining. They're going to keep complaining. They're going to try to act like this, that, your sister's ass. But you know what? This team, they don't got heart. The Sixers, they don't got heart. The Knicks, they got heart. They got balls. They got everything you could imagine. These guys stand up when they are called on. These guys go off when they need to. And they do whatever it takes to win the game that is in front of them that day. They ain't like Joel Embiid. They ain't like Nick Nurse. They actually look at the task at hand and they say, how can I get this done? And they do it. There's a difference between those who are going out there and talking about everybody else, making excuses for why they lost. And there are those that go out there and take a win from your hands. That's what this Knicks team does. And boy, is that fun to say. I've been telling y'all, believe what your eyes have been showing you all season long. This team is who they have shown you. They ain't any different and they're not going to change now. So, Philly, I'm going to tell you the same thing. Believe what your eyes are telling you with this Knicks team. They just beat you 2 games. One of them took a miracle, and we'll acknowledge that. But you know what else it did? It showed who this team is. It shows they don't quit, and they ain't going to die just because they see Joel Embiid lining up on the other side of the court. Just because they see Joel Embiid come running out of the locker room and rip his warm-up off mid-second half. They ain't going to quit just because you want them to. Just because you say that they're not so good. They're going to keep going and they're going to whoop your ass. This Knicks team is them. Put some respect on their damn names. But that game will not be until tomorrow night. The Isle's also off tonight. They will play tomorrow night at home. So if you are on the island, try to get yourself a nice little ticket to that one. Support the guys. Listen, this series ain't over yet. You win both of these, we're right back to a best of three. Come on now. Let's go. We also have NFL draft preview tomorrow. Jets and Giants on the clock. Big draft day. Even though it feels like the draft isn't even happening, the Giants were expecting a quarterback, and the Jets have a top 10 pick in a Super Bowl or bust kind of season. So we shall see what happens there. We will preview that tomorrow's episode today. Keep an eye out. Mets play at 3:45 versus the Giants, and the Yankees play at 7 o'clock versus the Oakland A's once again over at the stadium. Enjoy, my beautiful people. Stay safe out there. And unfortunately, I must bid you adieu on this Wednesday, April 24th. But you can hit me up on the Twitter, @Zoobeard77. You can hit that follow, subscribe, leave a 5-star rating if you feel like it. And as always, be kind to one another and enjoy a beautiful, beautiful Wednesday. All the love. Peace!